All right, what is up, Bulls fans? Thank you guys so much for listening. This is episode number 2 of the Mitch and Nils Bulls Show. My name is Mitch. My man to the right, it's Big J Nils. What up, Nils?
As Bulls legend. And fellow Australian Luke Longley would say, good day, mates.
Yes, people, what is up? Thank you guys so much for listening to our show. We had almost 100 listeners, 98 listeners to our last show.
98 listeners?
98.
That's 96 more than I was expecting.
Yo, I was thinking that we could get like 10. Like, I know like 5 dudes that would definitely listen to the show. But other than that, and our girlfriends.
Right.
Or, excuse me, not I have a girlfriend. You got something a little bit more special.
Yeah, I got a shout out to the future Mrs. Nils.
What up, SJ?
I went ahead and got on bended knee.
Yes, sir.
Went ahead and pulled a Beyonce. And
yes, sir.
Put a ring on it. But yeah, that's going on in my world.
Yeah, that's what's going on, and also the Bulls. So you know, like I said in our last episode, we're not experts. We're not journalists.
You know what we are, though?
What?
We're just a couple of Jimmy Butlers in this podcast game.
Jimmy Butlers that don't play defense.
Right. There you go. We're just two promising young rookies.
Right.
Trying to make a name for ourselves. Get some minutes.
Get some minutes. That's what we're trying to do. So, guys, that's what we're going to be talking about. The Chicago Bulls. We got 3 topics today. I think they'll be pretty fun. We're going to get back on the Boozer thing, man. We talked about it a little bit last week, but people are really heavy about amnestying Carlos Boozer. And we got some flip-flopping here, man. We got a Mitt Romney here, man. Going back and forth. What's up with that, man?
It's a fluid situation.
It's a fluid situation. So we're going to be talking about that. Our second topic, we're going to be talking about the rest of the NBA. Apparently, they're still playing basketball without the Bulls. That's super strange.
Yeah, I thought the playoffs would be canceled. That's not the deal.
Apparently, they're still playing. Western Conference Finals, Eastern Conference Finals. Things have changed since you've gotten back in the country.
It's crazy because, what was it, 2 weeks ago that I left? I thought that I was convinced that we were going to have a Indiana Pacers, Philadelphia 76ers Eastern Conference Finals.
Luckily, we did not. We got, I mean, I think anybody would be better than Boston. You got Boston on one side and Miami on the other side. So, I mean, I think I would have preferred Indiana, Philadelphia.
Yeah.
On a personal level.
I mean, the worst part about a Boston-Miami series is that one team has to win.
Really, seriously. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to talk about OKC and San Antonio in the West. And then we're also going to be talking about, I'm looking forward to, like I can't wait, our favorite Bulls memory.
We probably could spend a whole podcast on that, but we don't want to bore our listeners with our personal events.
Just knowing me, you know me for a couple years, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Top 10 Bulls memories, how many of them do you think involve Ben Gordon?
I think 8 involve Ben Gordon. 1 involves Eddie Curry, and 1 involves Carlos Boozer.
Don't forget about Tony Kukoc, man.
No, my fault.
Don't forget about Tony Kukoc.
I was talking post-2000.
All right. We will talk about that and more. We will be back in about 1 minute. It's the Bull Show.
What up?
What up? Guys, topic number 1, we're going to be talking about the Chicago Bulls' most hated man.
It's close. I mean, there's Al Capone, there's LeBron James, and there's Carlos Boozer.
Well, the internet and all the people have been going nuts about the possibility of amnestying Carlos Boozer. And I won't bore you guys with the details, but basically the Bulls have the option of kind of cutting him. They still got to kind of pay him his money, but they could get some salary cap relief if they decide to let him go. So we're going to talk about that.
Basically, if the Bulls amnesty Boozer, we're paying him to not play on our team.
We're paying him not to play. Now, there will be kind of like a bidding auction process where other teams who are under the cap will get a chance to kind of pay his salary, and we would have to pay the difference. But it is an option.
The upside to it is that it will create more cap room, theoretically, and result in additional pieces.
It could. The Bulls will have to do some fancy footwork if they do decide to get under the cap. They have to make decisions on Kyle Korver, C.J. Watson, Ronnie Brewer. But it could be a situation where if they cut a bunch of their players, also a Sheik, if they, you know, make decisions on a lot of their players, maybe they can get under the cap.
It's disappointing because, you know, if our team was completely healthy, I think that we would have had as good of a shot as anyone.
Definitely.
To really compete for the title. But because of salary cap restrictions and the front office's history of not going into luxury tax, there's a good chance that our team next year is going to be vastly different than it was this year.
And I think that's a shame because people have to realize, I mean, this team has won more games in the last 2 years than any other team in the NBA in the regular season. It is a fact that we are as good as any team, at least as good as any team. There may be teams that are better. You know, you could say that we would never beat Miami. You could say that we can't match OKC. But we have actual evidence that we are an elite team. So you really want to see this team make it and be healthy in the playoffs.
Right. I feel like I'm getting misty-eyed just thinking
about it. I know. All right. We're going to pick it up here.
All right.
We're going to pick it up here.
Positive energy.
What did you think about Carlos Boozer's year this year? What do you think about him?
You know, the thing is, he was effective, and you got to give credit where credit's due because he did play in every single game.
He played every single game.
Which is completely an outlier when you look at his history with injuries.
With or without hair paint.
that's pretty much the main reason why I hate Carlos
Boozer. I mean, that probably is. If you're going to amnesty Carlos Boozer, I would say, like, listen, the man painted his head. I mean, that's like, people talk about swag. That is like the most
anti-swag.
Anti-swaggiest thing you could do.
Well, not looking beyond the hair, you know, I think he had a productive season, and yes, I can't hate on him too much. But my biggest beef is the fact that he is our highest paid player. And for someone to make superstar money and not play a lick of defense and make really idiotic mistakes from time to time, it's frustrating. You know, it might not be fair because, you know, if you or I were in the NBA and we were given a max amount of money or a contract, you know, we take it. So it's not his fault he's getting paid this much. You know, he got his.
Yeah.
But as a fan, it's frustrating. You know, with the money comes high expectations.
Definitely.
And he hasn't really delivered. He hasn't been that number two option that the Bulls need when it comes to D. Rose in the offense. Like, you could arguably say that Joakim Noah or Luol Deng, either of those guys are actually the second best player on the team.
Well, I think Joakim Noah is the second best player, and I think Luol Deng is the third best player. But does that really matter? Like, I mean, he's a player that's been effective for us. Does it matter? It's not our money. Like, I mean, he's getting paid a lot of money, but the Bulls kind of were put in a situation in 2009, or was it? No, 2010, was it?
Yeah, summer 2010.
Summer 2010, where, you know, Joe Johnson got paid in Atlanta.
Right.
Amari Stoudemire got paid in New York. Those Miami bums went to Miami.
Right.
And, I mean, Carlos Boozer was kind of the last man standing, and we decided to pay him to get him. So, I mean, he does make a little bit more money than what he should, but he's still producing.
But to bring it back to the original point of, okay, would you or would you not amnesty Boozer? As Mitch mentioned early on, you know, I keep wavering back and forth between both those options. And right now I'm in the camp of, yes, I would amnesty Boozer, but under the condition that we have a game plan in place.
What's the game plan?
And you know, let me introduce our listeners to what I call, if you believe the hype,
yes,
if you believe the hype, what I would call the homeless man's version of Dirk Nowitzki.
I call him the rich man's Tim Thomas.
Okay, well, we have a broad spectrum.
Can't see me. Can't see me.
We have a wide range. But the man that we're referring to is none other than Nikolaj Mirotić, who I believe plays for Real Madrid.
Yes.
And he's a 6'11 stretch four, maybe even pushing 7 feet.
Got some good NBA range, good right. ball skills, big time scorer, balling out of the EuroLeague.
And if you believe everything you read on the internet, which I do because everything on the internet is true, you would think that, you know, he is the missing piece and he will be the player to put us over the top and would be a legit candidate to really replace Carlos Boozer's offensive firepower, who could stretch the floor once D-Rose gets back on the court healthy, can really be that option to drive and kick it out to for that three ball.
Well, here's my thing. I hope he's great. I hope he's a baller. Right. But we have him. We drafted him. He belongs to us. So why get rid of Carlos Boozer and bring in a player that we think, hope, pray might be good when we have a player that's producing right now?
Just because not only in addition to bringing Nikolaj Mirotić over, and let me you know caveat this by saying there's no guarantee that he's coming over.
No guarantee.
I mean, there are a lot of stipulations in place. As Mitch had told me off the podcast, that essentially Mirotić would be paying the Bulls to come over here and play.
We're paying the Real Madrid.
Sorry.
Yeah, because what's happening, he has a buyout. If you guys aren't familiar with European basketball, I'll do it quickly. Basically, a European team signs a player who may go to the NBA. They say, listen, you can go to the NBA, but you got to pay a certain amount of dollars. NBA rules basically state that an NBA team can only pay a certain amount of that buyout. So basically, the Bulls would be asking Nikolaj Mirotić to kind of pay his own way to come here.
Right. So, you know, if he does come over here and we amnesty Boozer, now not only do we have a replacement for Boozer, but we can use that cap space to sign additional players or more likely retain players. And by players, I mean the bench mobs such as CJ Watson, Kyle Korver, Ronnie Brewer, who are all, I would rather have those four players, Brewer, Korver, Watson, and Mirotić, over Carlos Boozer.
I think I disagree.
Okay.
I think Carlos Boozer is really important to this team with Derrick Rose. Now, I think what's going to happen is that the year without Derrick Rose, he's not going to look as good as he did this year, which is funny because, you know, people were definitely disappointed with him. Mm-hmm. But I think he fits in really well with Derrick Rose. His ability to hit open jump shots, I think, is really important when you have a guy who's getting trapped and double teamed so much. You need a guy who's a really good passer and a really good shooter to take the pressure off of Carlos Boozer, off of Derrick Rose.
But here's the thing. You know, yes, he can make open jump shots. Yes, he can rebound. But I feel like you can find another player. And granted, I don't have any evidence to support this or any, you know, players to back me up as examples. But you can replace that.
You really think he's that replaceable?
Oh, yeah. I think that you just need to find a guy. I mean, essentially, if Taj Gibson develops a consistent 15, 18 footer, he is Carlos Boozer, but better.
I mean, if I was like 6'8", I'd be like a starting 3-point-3 in the NBA. He's like 25 years old. Is he gonna really develop a jump shot at this point in his career?
Hey, I'm just saying, Jason Kidd became what, third all time in Aeson without the J. He became what, all time third and all time leading 3-point makes.
Yeah.
Whatever the case, I mean, it's never too late to develop that. I mean, all it takes is some work in the gym.
Well, you called him replaceable. Do you really think that Carlos Boozer is like a replaceable player?
For sure.
Do you think he's like an average player?
I don't think he's average. But I think that we have guys in the pipeline, such as Gibson, such as Mirotić, who can replace him potentially.
I think he's a lot better. All right, you know what? Let's play a game here. Who would you rather have right now? Just right now on the Bulls. Don't think about salary cap. Amari Stoudemire or Carlos Boozer?
That's a tough one. But if gun to my head, I'd have to say Amari.
Chris Bosh or Boozer?
Chris Bosh.
LaMarcus Aldridge or Boozer?
LaMarcus Aldridge.
You're answering these really quickly.
It's because they're easy.
I actually agree with both of those three. Let's make it a little bit interesting. Carlos Boozer or David West?
David West. David West at least provides some sort of toughness. And you know what?
David West is like 6'5".
That's fine, but he's still productive. And Carlos Boozer plays like he's 6'4".
But
When was the last time you saw Carlos Boozer make a post move that actually led him towards the basket finishing strong?
He was not terrible in Game 3 and Game 4.
I'm not saying Philly. He was terrible, but...
He was... We never really throw the ball down to Carlos Boozer and let him operate. I mean, the team is not built around
Carlos Boozer. No, because every time we do throw the ball into the post, he does a little fadeaway, which I'll give him credit, 50% of the time goes in, but... You know, that's not exactly something I want out of my power forward. I want someone to be bruising down low, you know, getting offensive rebounds, getting putbacks, getting shots close to the basket and not fading away.
Carlos Boozer or Brandon Bass?
See, that's tough right there. And, you know, I wouldn't put Brandon Bass at Carlos Boozer's level. But
what's wrong with these butts?
Let me just say that I don't know what Brandon Bass's contract situation is. But whatever he's getting paid, I'm sure it's far less than Carlos Boozer.
No, we're just talking about basketball.
As basketball players, yeah. Yes, I would take Carlos Boozer over Brandon Bass. But let's consider the context of the real life situation here. You know, Boozer's contract is eating a lot of our cap space, and
it is
potential. And I know, you know, maybe some listeners who are more knowledgeable with cap rules. Might come back and say, well, it doesn't work that simple. Simply where we can just, you know, remove Boozer from the books and sign like two or three more players. I know it's not as simple as that, but at the same time, I think that Bass would be a better bargain. And I think that's what we have to take into consideration.
He would. I'm just talking about surely basketball. The situation is tough. Even if the Bulls amnesty Boozer, they still have to pay him. There's still a salary cap situation because the Bulls are going to be over the cap. With or without him if they choose to retain all their other players. But I'm just very surprised. I think you really struggled with Carlos Boozer over Brandon Bass. I mean, who do you think is better, Carlos Boozer or Tyrus Thomas?
I definitely go Boozer. You cannot get me on the Tyrus Thomas bandwagon.
Who was that guy, David Craig, or the European guy that played in the Bad Bulls? Remember that dude?
Are you talking about... Oh, I forget. Dalibor Bagaric?
No, not him. But you probably think Dalibor can outball Carlos Boozer then. I bet you think that.
Well, if Dalibor Bagaric was getting paid $15 million a year, then yes, I would be pretty frustrated and pretty pissed off. All
right. Well, I am still in the pro Boozer camp. I think he can definitely do the job for the Bulls. But, you know, I respect your position, Jay.
All I want to say is, you know, I'm all for retaining Boozer, but I wouldn't be mad at amnestying him if there is a plan in place and there's a replacement in place, which I think is possible if we're able to bring Mirotić over. I would take that gamble.
All right. Well, we'll see what's going to happen. We'll definitely be talking more about Carlos Boozer over the next few months. We'll be talking about draft stuff as well. Guys, we are back. Bull show topic number two. We're gonna be talking about the rest of the NBA. The playoffs are going on. We got the four teams: OKC, San Antonio, Boston, and Miami. And you just left town a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah, I left exactly 2 weeks ago, actually. When I left, it was 2-1 Indiana.
Yep.
And I believe it was 2-2 Philly and Boston.
Yes.
And like I said early on in the show, I was convinced, and actually pretty pissed, pretty salty, that it was going to be an Indiana-Philly Conference Finals, because all that told me was, wow, this could have been our year.
Oh, man. The internet was definitely going nuts over the thought that King James and D Wade could be knocked off by Indiana, but it was not to be.
You know what was crazy is, so I was abroad and.
Care of the Chicago Bulls.
Care of the Chicago
Bulls. Come on, humble brag.
All right. Are we going to go on a tangent right now?
Yeah, we're going on a tangent right now. Where did you go?
We went to the land down under, down in Australia.
You went to Australia. You flew on a plane, of course.
We flew on a plane. I feel like that's really the only way these days to get there.
Yes. I'm putting my lawyer hat on now. Okay. All right. Who paid for that ticket?
So, just to give you a bit of an idea of how big of Bulls fans we are, I'm actually a season ticket holder.
Okay.
And part of a season ticket holder benefit.
Humble brag number two.
You can just take out the humble on here. I'm just shit bragging right now. Anyways, so as part of a season ticket holder, you're allowed to, every now and then, I think it's only once a year, you're allowed to participate in on-court contests. So I had the privilege / the honor of, long story short, shooting a three-pointer between the first and second quarter of a game in February. I actually remember this game because the Bulls lost to the New Jersey Nets in a Saturday matinee.
D-Will went nuts.
D-Will went nuts.
Champagne stand up.
But luckily, we were able to overshadow the loss with this contest that I was able to participate in, which was shooting a three-pointer between the first and second quarter. And what can I say? I
nailed it.
I released it, and it felt good. And splash.
Yeah, splash, splash. Yes, it was on YouTube. We'll tweet out the link. I think we already tweeted out the link, actually.
I think we did. shameless self-promotion.
We should do it every day. I mean, whatever. I mean, that's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, let me just say that it was the greatest moment of my life. Man, I might be understating it a little bit, but it was the greatest moment of my life.
I was in the 300 level going nuts up there.
Yeah.
People thought I was crazy. But anyway, where were we even at? I don't even remember where we were at. That was a big
Can we spend a couple more minutes talking about it? No, I'm just kidding. Like I said, it was pretty awesome. If you look closely when we do tweet out the link, if you look closely, you can see D-Rose didn't play in the game. He was in his warm-ups, but he did check me out while I was shooting.
He was checking out the baby butt form?
I guess he was checking. I have a tendency to stick out my ass when I shoot. But my form is pretty.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's pretty.
At least it looks pretty. And it was probably the first time, if only time, that I was actually pretty happy about another dude checking me out. So if any of the Bulls front office is listening to this podcast, yeah, I was that dude that nailed that three. So I'm waiting on that 10-day contract.
If you need a 5'11".
5'11 is kind of generous.
If you need a 5'10 corner three shooter, email us.
I could be the Filipino Steve Kerr.
The Bulls Show at gmail.com.
I'm sure Coach Tibbs can come up with enough of a defensive scheme to hide me in the defensive plan.
And if you need a 5'10 fat point guard with a sweet ass spin move, you know what I'm saying?
You hear those footsteps, John Lucas? We're coming after you.
We're coming after you, man. Change the pace guard. All right, let's get back to it. We were talking about, I think, Miami almost losing, but then them going off swaggy.
Yeah, you're going to have to fill me in because...
Man, so this is what happened the last three games.
All right.
Dwayne Wade, LeBron James basically said, we are the two best basketball players on the planet. Let me show you. And just went nuts.
That's crazy because, just to rewind a little bit, being abroad, all I had access to were box scores and Twitter. And after that game three, where D-Wade and Spoelstra had that whole argument and had their beef, you know, you would have thought that Miami's world was ending.
Twitter can get a little reactionary sometimes.
I think that's the point of that social
media. Yeah, I didn't really feel like they were in that much trouble, but they did go down 2-1.
The world was about to be a better place if Miami was losing.
That would have been so good, man. That would have been so good. But
like you said yourself, Miami losses feel like
almost. I put that out on Facebook. But it was not to be. Miami is now dealing with the Celtics, which sucks for me because I really want to root against Miami, but I only hate one team in the world more than Miami. That is...
the Boston Celtics.
Man, I hate them, man.
You know, I mean...
I hate everything about Boston, man.
I think you'd agree that the worst part about this Boston-Miami series is that one team has to win.
Seriously. And my man Rajon Rondo went nuts yesterday.
How could he be your man when you hate him?
I was just saying that as a figure of speech.
Oh, okay.
He's not really. The funny thing about Rajon Rondo, though, is I should like him. Like, everything I like about a basketball player, like, Rajon Rondo presents. Yeah, like, and he's like such a fun basketball player.
But let me remind you of Brad Miller.
Oh, my God.
Let me remind you of Kirk Heinrich.
Kirk Heinrich. He threw my man Kirk Heinrich just into the stands.
And he smacked up Brad Miller like a ragdoll.
Preview of topic number three.
Okay.
Preview.
Okay.
But, So, you know, Miami, I don't think will have a problem with Boston.
At this rate, no. I mean, I think they had their chance when Rondo went mental on them last night, dropping 44 and 40, 53 minutes.
I think it was like 44, 8, and 10. It was something stupid. They had like three turnovers.
Yeah, I mean, that if there was any chance for them to turn the series around, I think it was last night. I don't see them winning two in Boston.
I don't see them winning any games.
Basically, when you think about it, they have to win 4 out of 5.
I don't see them winning any games, man.
It's
too big, too fast, too strong, too good. Is that sacrilege?
That is sacrilege.
I'm sorry. Especially when referring to Miami. I'm sorry. We're going to move on. This is the more interesting series. We just watched game number 3. OKC just like...
annihilate. I didn't think they had it in them. Or I guess I should say I didn't think that the Spurs could fold like that.
I don't think they folded, man. I just think these kids are young. I mean,
they definitely fed off the energy of the crowd.
Yeah.
It's crazy because... especially after the first two games, I didn't think that San Antonio could be touched.
I mean, they look so good moving the basketball. Everybody seems like such a cerebral player. Mm-hmm. Everybody makes the extra pass. And they just have two killers at the end of a game. Right. Two killers. I mean, gosh. I mean, the shots that Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker have been hitting at the end of these games. I mean, all it is like, I mean, it is not difficult stuff. It's like, high pick and rolls.
Right.
Tony Parker just making a crazy drive or hitting an 18-footer.
They just know how to play. You know, it's funny because I feel like when it comes, you'll hear the bad rap on San Antonio being too boring.
So stupid.
And which is dumb in itself, but it's almost kind of the point where people have gone so far the other way to make sure that people know that they're not boring that there's almost a backlash. Like, I don't want to like them because people are saying, oh, no, they're too boring. You got to watch them. Like, I want to go against the grain, you know? It's almost like wanting to root for an underdog. Like, people, there's so many people, especially on Twitter and whatnot, wanting to root for San Antonio. So I was trying to go against the grain. But then I started really watching their games, and it's so hard not to like them.
It's so hard. And it's funny, like, Tony Parker, you would say is the best player on the team, right?
Right.
I was just talking to my buddy Lewis about this. I think at the beginning of the season, you would say that Tony Parker is like, what, the 7th or 8th best point guard in the league?
Right, right.
Like, how can you say that when he's the best player on seemingly the best team in the league?
Well, you know, I read an article, I forget by who or where it came from, but I guess this is the Tony Parker that the French national team is used to seeing, and he just wouldn't, he would conform more to San Antonio style play. And I guess Pop, Greg Popovich, their coach, had seen film of Parker on the French national team and basically went to Tony and said, why don't you play more like this? Why don't you do this on the Spurs?
Well, they have unleashed the beast. He's just, I mean, he's beasting right now. And right now, we got a 2-1 series. I mean, what are your thoughts right now?
I guess...
give me a prediction.
I'm still going with San Antonio, and I guess a huge reason why I'm on their bandwagon and I can't not like them is because I think they pose the greatest threat to the Miami Heat. And that's going to be the running theme, the running story in the NBA Finals. Assuming that it's the Heat and Spurs, which I think there's a solid chance that's going to be. It's going to be, can two superstar individuals overcome a team? And hopefully, as Bulls fans, it will be the Spurs triumphing over the Heat.
I'm going to go with OKC. I think they had two tough games, but they were on the road. This game may look nuts. That's the team I thought was going to win in the beginning. Thabo Sefolosha had a huge game. He came out of nowhere tonight. And he can guard people, man.
The Parker stopper?
The Parker stopper.
TP9 stopper?
The Parker stopper. I think they have the athleticism. I think they'll get their 3 games in Oklahoma City. And all they need to do is win one in San Antonio. But we'll see, right?
It'll be a fun series to watch. So far, it has delivered, with the exception of maybe tonight. But
all right, so you got San Antonio winning that series. San Antonio winning the finals?
San Antonio winning the finals. At least that's my hope.
What do you think in your brain, though?
I still think San Antonio. If I'm thinking logically about it, you know, you watch both series, and San Antonio's putting up 110, 120-point game. Well, maybe 120 is a little much. But they're putting up points well into the hundreds. And you look at Miami Boston and they're grinding it out. I just don't think that Miami will be able to keep up with San Antonio.
Do you think, though, that Ginobili and Parker will be able to do that against LeBron and Wade and even Mario Chalmers? three really, really good perimeter defenders.
But you say that like it's, you know, they're going to go at him one-on-one.
Yeah.
What I've seen from San Antonio thus far is that there's a lot of pick and roll action, and that takes more than just one player to guard. And as long as they can still run the pick and roll effectively, they're going to be able to get their shots. They're going to get their corner threes. They're going to get their wide open shots. So, you know, as great as a defender as LeBron or D-Wade is, it's a team game. And I think ultimately the better team is going to win.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm hoping for. I still think that, I don't know. We'll talk about it next week.
We got some time to go.
All right, cool. All right, we're going to go with topic number three in a minute, our favorite Bulls memories. We will be back in a couple minutes, all right? Bulls show. Topic number three, we're going to be talking about our favorite Bulls memories. We've been Bulls fans for a long time, right?
Since the day I was born. Well, no, I shouldn't say that, but I can tell you that legitimately my first childhood memory was watching Pippen dribble out the clock in the 91 finals.
At the wow. Field.
I feel like that. I remember where I was at my grandma's place. I was with all my cousins, and they won, and I feel like that's as far back as I can remember.
Really? Okay. So,
that's not my favorite Bulls memory. I mean, it was one of them.
Let's get into it right now.
You want to start?
I don't know if I want to start because I feel like you're going to make fun of my favorite Bulls
memory. you're worried about the shots being fired already?
You know what? Listen, people unfairly hate on me because I love Ben Gordon, man. I love that dude, man. I love that dude. You know what I'm saying?
The stage is yours.
I'm not even going to talk about it because I'm going to let you go.
Is your favorite Bulls memory like partying in the club with Ben Gordon or something?
No, I just liked him as a basketball player. Okay. I mean, how could you hate on a man that hit so many big shots for us?
I feel you on that. I'm not gonna hate too much on it.
Do you remember Ben Gordon against the Knicks, those games and Matt
Square? I do.
Coming in
as a
rookie.
The giant killer.
That floater.
And you know, he had that level of swag that I feel like this current Bulls team misses.
I'm just going to say that my favorite Bulls memory is Ben Gordon's career. That's the answer I'm going to go with.
I'm going to rewind this just a little bit because the purpose of this favorite Bulls memory was to clue our listeners in to just give you a little bit more insight on who we are as
I
Bulls
think
fans.
That gives me great insight
and,
on my psyche as
and,
a Bulls fan.
And almost establish a little credibility that, you know... That we are huge fans and, you know, it really expresses our fandom. I don't know how much credibility we really built with that.
That's fine. Listen. Haters gonna hate. Listen.
Give me your
memory that's gonna make people think that you're the greatest Bulls fan in the world.
I'm not a better fan than you. But man, we could probably spend an entire podcast on this right. because I could.
Well, give me one.
Well, I think that you know we already talked about the shot that I made to win my trip
yes.
to Australia.
Is that a Bulls memory?
See, I feel like a lot of my memories are in-game memories that maybe not necessarily have to deal with what the Bulls did on the court, mm-hmm. maybe something that happened around it. My favorite memory is actually pretty recent. It happened, I think, less than a year ago. And I feel like that's you know, the reason for that is because, you know, you tend to appreciate things more
definitely.
When you're a bit older. I'm sure there's a lot of Bulls memories as a kid that if I thought long and hard enough that they would really resonate. But it was actually last year, you might recall, the Bulls had a special little ceremony to commemorate their 20th anniversary
okay.
of their first championship in 1991.
Okay.
And coincidentally, this was a total shot in the dark, I ended up securing courtside tickets to this
right.
game. And
the Scottie Pippen seats?
No. They weren't that legit. Yeah. I'm still balling on a budget. Every year I go to a courtside game. I basically decide to default on one mortgage payment.
Okay.
And you know, spring for some courtside seats. Well, early on the season, I got tickets to the Utah game because I kind of want to see Darren, fellow Illinois alum. And luckily, that just turned out to be the same game that they were having this 20th anniversary special.
Okay.
So the craziest thing about it, the coolest thing about it, was that it was so nostalgic, and it was, you know, totally bringing in past and present. They brought the entire 1991 team, with the exception of, I think, B.J. Armstrong and Bill Cartwright. And the entrance, or the pathway they took in order to make it to center court, was literally right by my seats.
Okay.
So I'm going to recycle this joke, which I used on a previous podcast that I was on. What up, hashtag borderless. I basically was a teenage girl at a Justin Bieber concert.
Okay.
Like, it was just straight up pandemonium.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm snapping pictures, I'm grabbing shoulders, I'm just trying to get a touch of these players who I literally grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost, you know, tapping back into my childhood. I don't mean to get too senti on you guys, but it was so cool seeing, you know, like I said, 20 years ago, these guys who I grew up idolizing were on the court, literally 20 feet away from me, in the middle of a basketball game, where now you're seeing, it was such a smooth transition from Jordan, Pippen, Grant, to now Rose, Dang, Noah.
Mm.
I mean, granted, we're not on that level yet.
Right.
But I loved how that was able to bring everything together for me. Well, and really, you know, you joke around about having Ben Gordon's career as your favorite Bulls highlight, or favorite Bulls memory. I mean, that pretty much encompassed 20 years right there in a good 25-minute span.
Definitely. So other than the Jordan and the Pippen, who was your favorite Bull of that era?
Well,
first Jordan, second Jordan era.
So I had four jerseys,
okay,
growing up. I had the Jordan 23,
okay,
in red. I had the Jordan 45 in white.
Okay.
I had a Pippen in red.
Okay.
And then I had the number 10, B.J. Armstrong.
B.J. Armstrong, that makes sense because that's kind of like your game.
Doesn't look a day older than 15 years old right now. and that was my dude, little babyface B.J. Armstrong.
Babyface B.J. I was a Tony Kukoc guy.
You don't say.
Listen, I like, if you watch me play basketball, a lot of people think that I might be left-handed. And that's because I would watch Tony Kukoc play and just decide, like, I would go out in the yard and be like, okay, I'm only shooting with my left hand now. Because okay, I just wanted to be like Tony Kukoc.
Okay.
Which is weird. I don't know why, like...
It's strange for you know, a guy of your ethnicity.
Yeah.
A young black kid on the south side to aspire to be a left-handed Croatian.
There are like 10 black guys on the team, but like, I wanted to be the Croatian. I wanted to be like the 6'11" Croatian. Like, that makes no sense. But I really messed with Tony Kukoc, man.
For those of you that, for all our 16, 17 followers on Twitter, and for those of you who are trying to catch us at the Bulls show, don't be creeped out by that random white dude as our avatar. That's actually Tony Kukoc.
That's my man, man. If you don't know who that is, just don't download the show. Listen, man. If you don't know who Tony Kukoc is, whatever, man. All right, well, I'll tell you what I can't tell you what my favorite Bulls memory is, but I can tell you what my least favorite Bulls memory
is. Okay, go ahead.
It's kind of weird, and it's kind of in the recent time, so I don't know if that means anything, but 2009.
Uh-huh.
Game 6.
Uh-oh.
Against Boston.
I know where we're going with this.
What was that, a double overtime game?
I think it was triple.
Overtime. And I'll tell you, I had really good seats. I wasn't on courtside. I wasn't at courtside. But I was in the 100 level. And the Bulls actually won that game. You know, we actually went to game 7. Game 7 we watched at your house.
Yep.
But I remember watching that game and just, it was such an unenjoyable game to watch. Because, I mean, it was like we were the 8 seed. They were the 1 seed. We had a legitimate chance of winning. It was such a close game. And it's just like everything that happened. Like, I don't think I've been that emotional about a game where it's just like, you want them to win so bad. And everything that bad happens, I just took it hard. I remember the overtime, just not wanting to watch overtime.
It's tough being a Bulls fan, isn't it?
And I didn't feel good till Noah had that breakaway dunk.
Yeah, I think that speaks to just how irrational and how emotional we are as fans, and it's tough. Like, I've gotten to the point now where my now fiance refuses to watch games with me. Yes. Because she knows that it's going to dictate the rest of my evening, and there is a possibility that I'm going to displace my frustration and anger on her. And it's not healthy. It's not a healthy obsession. I recognize this. I know I have a problem.
Did we? We're going to get out here soon and let you guys get out here. But did we talk about Indiana in the last podcast?
We did not. We did not. We might have to bring that up later. We might have to have a separate podcast of just Bulls trips. Right now, Mitch and I, we're now on two straight years of making Bulls road trips, both for playoff games, and both have been quite the adventure.
And we're 0-3.
Yeah, we might need to break up the dynasty.
All right, we can't
watch playoff games
together. Yeah, all right. Well, guys, thank you guys so much for downloading, listening, streaming, however you came. We really appreciate it. You can email us at thebullshow@gmail.com. You can download the podcast, which is kind of weird because if you're listening to the podcast, I won't have to tell you where to find it. But, you know, whatever.
Circular reference.
Yeah, circular, whatever. You know, bullshow at podmatic.com. You can also catch us on Twitter, The Bull Show. We should probably get a Facebook page, I think. I mean, just
in due time. When our followers reach the 20s.
Yeah, and we're going to get this thing on Facebook. We need like 3 or 4 podcasts. So, I mean, on iTunes. So once we get on iTunes, it'll be a lot easier for you guys to listen. But that will be it for The Bull Show. We will be back next week.
From the man cave. From the man cave.
We're going to take it from the basement. We're going to take it from my basement to the man cave. And after that, we're going to watch some Pacquiao.
A Pacquiao fight.
Is it going to be beef? If I come to your house to root for Timothy Bradley, will that be the end of the Bull Show?
You mean bootleg Mayweather? I'm pretty sure that Pacquiao is trying to dupe the Filipino community by being like, yo, look, I'm fighting another black dude. This is like Mayweather.
This is going to be our people against each other. This might bring like things that we haven't even faced yet.
If there's no podcast next week, you know why.
Race war. All right. That is it. Bull Show. Thank you guys so much for downloading. We will see you next week.
Both teams played hard. God bless and good night.
All right, guys. See you later.